You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
The NFL draft is this week, and we've got analysis and predictions for the perhaps record number of Wolverines who might be drafted. In basketball news, Dusty May has been busy assembling his inaugural Michigan roster. What's the outlook for next season after a flurry of additions? We discuss that and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be back with you here late Wednesday morning, April 24th. Yeah, as you guys mentioned on the last episode, I was away in California for, I mean, it was only 5 days, but man, it was a busy 5 days. Zook, I want to ask you here on air for the first time, were you very... Because it was you handling most of these posts on these commitments, I feel like. Yes. Were you happy to have, all right, here's a little news I can write about, you know, these little easy posts are like, okay, this is a lot. This is
the first two were like, all right, Dusty's getting some momentum going here. That's cool. And then it's like, all right, man, like two in a day, like three in 2 days. Like it just became like, all right, man, chills, Dusty, chill. Andrew will be back next week, man. Like, it's fine. Just relax a little bit.
It was just very fun. I just kept, you know, I wasn't carrying my work phone with me everywhere, but I had, you know, I still had the Twitter alert set up. So I'd like come back to the, you know, our condo and I'd see just, oh, I got another one. Oh, another one, another one. And it was unbelievable. You know,
some of it was awful timing too. It's like the one Ohio State guy was like right when we were getting to football interviews with Sharon, and then like minutes after that, Michigan's first football commit happened. It's just like, pick better times to announce this, dudes. But no, good for Dusty, man. It's like it seems like he's taking things and ran with them and is building a roster.
Yeah, it was a lot. I mean, it was funny. I left my little note before I left, like, you know, here's what might happen. You know, I'm sure there'll be another guy or two, but you know, I can't pre-write everything. You can't predict everything. And sure enough, yeah, there was a ton. It was seven guys in 5 days. You know, I recapped it all on, mlive.com/Wolverines today. You know, a variety of guys, high school players, you know, Justin Pippen, the son of Hall of Famer, NBA Hall of Famer Scottie Pippen, commits. He's you know, a high school prospect. And there's only a handful of those guys that you might want that are Michigan caliber that were unsigned. So, you know, to be able to get one of them is big because, you know, in theory, then you have him for several years instead of like a grad transfer who you'd have to replace again next year. And then Lorenzo Kaysen, another high school player that had committed to Dusty May at Florida Atlantic. Now we'll follow him to Michigan. And then you got everywhere in between. You've got, you know, Reuben Jones, a grad transfer from North Texas, you know, who played in the same conference as Florida Atlantic throughout his college career. You know, you've got freshmen in college. You got a guy who was a sophomore, a couple guys who were sophomores in college, you know, a variety of positions covered. You've got a full roster now that looks capable of, you know, competing in the Big Ten, honestly, especially when you factor in, you know, some of the returners. So, you know, I think the two questions maybe Michigan fans have now are they done? And, you know, are these kids actually going to get into Michigan? So the first one, are they done? No, it sounds like they're still going to add another player or two. Exactly how many scholarships they have open is, you know, unclear. It depends on whether Jace Howard and Namari Burnett, you know, two guys who have eligibility left, stay at Michigan. I'm putting Jace Howard in the staying category for now because he said he was staying and he hasn't said otherwise yet. But, you know, when your dad is fired as the head coach, I'm sure that that might change things. Namari Burnett, I'm putting in the not staying category just because, I don't know, just the way they're recruiting when you were a starter, a season-long starter, and now they're going after some other guys, you know, your spot might be in jeopardy. Jace is in a different position. He's you know, more of an end of the bench guy. But yeah, if you count Jace and don't count Namari Burnett, that's 11. You know, the additions I mentioned plus you know, Jace Howard, Will Cheddar, George Washington III. So that's 11 of 13. So maybe there's one or two more spots there. Are they going to get in? Yes. They've been announced as, you know, officially signed, all of them except Danny Wolf. I think, you know, Wolf is the only guy that Michigan hasn't put out there on social media as signed. And if a kid who did 2 years at Yale isn't getting into Michigan, you know, we've got some questions there. But we remember that from who's a lineman at Michigan right now from Stanford?
Hinton, Miles Hinton.
Miles Hinton talked about how many of his credits didn't transfer over. So you just don't know for sure. We've been over this before on this podcast. Michigan wants Michigan graduates to be just that, to be guys who did the bulk of their work at Michigan, not to do 2 or 3 years somewhere else, finish up at Michigan and claim to be a Michigan graduate. So Dusty May knew this. John Beilein prepped him on this during the interview process, and it's clear he understood it and, you know, avoided guys that weren't going to fit. And made sure that they didn't make their announcements until things were official. That's the key, because that was just embarrassing the last few years with Michigan, having guys announce that they were coming to Michigan, and then a week later, you know, a month later, whatever it was, well, actually, no, they're not.
So on that note, do you think Juwan was not prepped on that, or do you think he just didn't, like, realize, like, because obviously they had their situations with his staff?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what his issue was there. I think, you know, part of it was NIL. He felt he had a lack of NIL support. So maybe then he had to, all right, he already had relationships with some of these guys. All right, I'm going to have to, you know, expand my net a little bit to guys that maybe are a little more uncertain as far as the academic side, because, you know, if I go for only the academic guys and I can't offer the NIL, like, how large is my pool going to be of candidates? So I don't know if that was a problem or what, but it's clear he just, you know, wasn't fully aware of how that worked, because, I mean, the knock on admissions has been somewhat unfair. You know, you can get guys in. I mean, you know, they will extend, you know, there's not strict parameters that you need to, you know, for enrollees at Michigan. Like there are for the general student body. And then if you're talented as a musician or an athlete or whatever it is, you know, then that can not outweigh, but can make up for some deficiencies elsewhere. And I'm not saying any of these student athletes have those deficiencies, but, yeah, it allows you to get guys. You can get guys. It just doesn't have to be graduate transfers is my point. So, yeah, this is I very much look forward to diving into the backstory of kind of how they put this roster together, because, you know, my number one question right now is the portal is so huge. Where do you even begin? You know, is it just guys you have a relationship with, or is it, you know, are you you know, statistically kind of, you know, looking for certain things? So, yeah, it looks like a solid squad right now that, you know, should have people excited. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is that there's some high school kids and some, you know, freshmen and sophomores that, you know, the hope is they're not, you know, in the portal again this time next year, and that you actually, you know, you could call them Michigan Wolverines, you know, when their career is over. Because I don't, you know, no one's going to really be saying that about, say, Reuben Jones, you know, this 1 year transfer from North Texas. Nice piece, but you can't have an entire roster full of guys like that.
I mean, my number one question now is, does this mean we're going to be seeing a lot of Scottie Pippen at Chrysler Center next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's very funny. The one like screenshot I happened to see from like the live commitment video, it's like him and someone else. I don't know if it was his sister. I'm trying to remember, but you know, all smiles, and Scottie's just kind of like sitting there with like a bucket cap, and he doesn't seem to have a smile on his face. But again, it was probably just that moment or whatever. But yeah, that would be pretty cool. I mean, you know, I think maybe a new generation of fans got, you know, maybe introduced, or at least, you know, reintroduced to him, you know, through that Last Dance documentary a few years ago. But yeah, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, an all-time great. Yeah, that would be pretty cool, and continues a trend for, you know, Michigan, you know, recruiting the sons of, you know, former NBA stars. I mean, obviously, you know, Juwan had it with his own sons, and then you know, John Beilein before him with Tim Hardaway Jr. and Glenn Robinson III. Even just those are several that you know, kind of interesting pipeline. So yeah, Dusty has been very busy, and yeah, I probably not officially done yet, but hope to talk to him soon to try to yeah, learn more. You know, the women's side, we've talked about the players they've lost to the portal. One of them, Layla Filia, is now, she's going to Texas. So the hope of her coming back is not happening. Elise Stuck, I think Ball State is where she chose. Taylor Woodson, the freshman at back home state of Minnesota. They brought in a transfer for Boston College who's from the area. Who sat out all last season with an injury. But yeah, that roster's been, you know, maybe not overhauled, but certainly tweaked as well. So continued coverage of all that roster news on mlive.com/Wolverines. And I'm back to write it and take the burden off of Zook here. We said we're going to talk NFL draft because it is here. Thursday night is the first round. Friday night, rounds 2 and 3. And then Saturday, the rest, 4, 5, 6, and 7, kind of an all-day affair. And it's here in Detroit. You guys know exactly like where it's happening?
Yeah, so the stage is going to be set up in Campus Martius, so just north of the Greektown area.
Okay.
And then it's going to extend down to the water, the riverfront, Hart Plaza. So there's like a separate stage there set up for like a fan fest type thing, but the bulk of the stuff will be happening in Campus Martius. That's where the stage is set up for the players to come in and, you know, get announced and everything else.
We will have a presence there, we being MLive. None of the three of us are attending, but we'll have coverage of all the Wolverines getting drafted. And, you know, I know many of our listeners are Lions fans as well. You know, coverage of all that from our Lions writers. But, you know, as we always do on this pod, we do an over-under on how many Wolverines will get drafted. We're going to get to that. But let's just talk about first some of the top prospects. The very first Michigan Wolverine to be picked is going to be J.J. McCarthy. Yes, is that a lock?
I would call that a lock, unless he dies or something crazy happens over the next 24 hours. He will be the first one taken.
Going, I mean, maybe like, you know, like tears an ACL or something, not die. Going super dark there, McMahon. Yikes.
Where do you think he goes? What are the potential landing spots? What teams, you know, need a quarterback that, you know, that are picking near the top?
I mean, if you look across the board, the mock drafts, almost everybody has the Minnesota Vikings taking him. But they also, everyone's expecting the Vikings to trade up to take him. The Vikings currently have the number 11th pick, and they added a second first round pick earlier in the offseason, like 25 or something late. So I think the expectation is Minnesota plans to trade up to take him. It's just a matter of when and where. Everyone seems to be pointing to probably spot 4. That's where the Arizona Cardinals are currently expected to pick. They don't need a quarterback. And they're trying to add more pieces to their team. So I think the expectation is potentially 4. If not, you could see, you know, Minnesota try and move up to, I think, the Chargers pick at 5. Again, they don't need a quarterback. They need a lot of help. So the expectation is they may try and trade out of that spot as well to add additional draft pieces. So right now, McCarthy looks to be a legitimate candidate to go in the top five. I mean, it's been a wild last couple of months for him. I mean, when he declared in January after the national championship game, I think most folks looked at him as a first round pick, but maybe like late first round. And then it's been a steady climb since to like top 15, top 10. And now you're thinking, you know, that there's a legitimate need across the league for quarterbacks. I think he's widely considered to be at worst the fourth best quarterback on the board. And in that case, he's probably going to go certainly top 10, maybe even top five.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance too that, I mean, I think Drake May is probably the favorite to go to the Patriots at number three, but I've seen some mock drafts that have JJ going to New England at number three too. It kind of depends on what type of quarterback you want there. I mean, obviously May and McCarthy are a little bit different, or molded a little bit differently. I mean, it seems like McCarthy might be a little bit more mechanically sound, but I mean, Drake May's got the size and the dual threat ability too. So it will be interesting to see. There's always the Giants as a wild card too, maybe moving up or getting him at number six. So there's, I think there's going to be some trades early on in the top 10 so some teams can kind of grab a quarterback that they want. And that always makes for a little bit more excitement on draft night too.
Let's get into some kind of other predictions. Like how many, there's the first, you know, 2 days of the draft cover the first three rounds. Like I said, the first round on Thursday night, and then rounds two and three, the next two nights, the next night. How many Wolverines you think will be off the board by then? The bulk are going to be taken on Saturday, right? Just because more than half the draft takes place that day. But yeah, how many do you think go the first 2 days?
Well, as we said, JJ is pretty much locked to go the first round. Junior Colson is someone who's really gained steam in recent months. He's looked at as certainly a high day two pick, so I look for him to go early second round. Mikey Sanders still is a guy who's obviously been very popular this offseason. I don't know if he's a second round pick, maybe late second, but certainly early third. And then Chris Jenkins is kind of a wild card too, right? Like his name has kind of come up in the second round before. He's I've seen him in third before. He certainly looks like a legitimate day two pick. Roman Wilson too is a name that, I mean, he's been off the charts all offseason. He had a really good Senior Bowl week or a couple of practices. He looked good at this combine. So I think he's probably a third round draft pick as well. So right there is what, four or five guys. And I'm not even considering like Zach Zinner, right? I think he's certainly looked at as certainly a day two pick. His injury and him not doing a ton in the offseason because of the injury probably didn't help his case. But I do see a team swinging and taking him probably in day two as well. And then you've got the other spots. I mean, like Blake Corn could potentially go third round. I don't think it's going to happen, but never say never. So I think right a good number is probably five or six with the potential of, I mean, in my opinion, at least maybe potentially pushing seven as well.
Yeah, I mean, outside of those guys you mentioned, I don't think there's any shot of any of the other guys going on day two. I think Corum's probably the biggest wild card. It should be like a fourth round pick, but I mean, there's not many running backs on the board this year or draft eligible this year. So maybe a team gets desperate, or maybe the Chargers say, you know what, we want to make sure we get him, and Harbaugh might pick him with one of the Chargers' first picks too. So outside of that, though, I think that you're going to see a lot of fifth, sixth, seventh rounders on day three.
Yeah, so that puts you both at probably about five guys, which is what I'm kind of seeing from some of the other experts as well. Another question, Jim Harbaugh, new head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. I was just in his neck of the woods, did not see him in a van down by the river, but I was on the lookout. How many former Michigan Wolverines do you think he takes, if any? And even, you know, can you throw a name out there if possible? Like you said, he's got the fifth pick right now. I don't know, probably hard to see him taking a Wolverine with that pick, right? Because the only guy you'd probably take that high is McCarthy, and they have a quarterback already in Justin Herbert. But yeah, do you think maybe with a later pick, he locks in on any of his former players?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say two. Potentially, it looks like the Chargers have nine picks. And then, but a lot of them are in the later rounds, two in the seventh round and two in the fourth round and one in the fifth and sixth round each. So, I could see them drafting Corum either with their third round pick at number 69, or if he falls to the fourth round at number 105. And then, I mean, we know how much Jim loves his offensive linemen. Michigan has a lot of draft eligible offensive linemen. I can see him taking at least one. I'm not sure exactly who, but, I could see him taking maybe two offensive linemen and Corum, or if Corum's off the board, two offensive linemen. But I don't think he'll overdo it, so I'm going to go with two Wolverines to the Chargers.
That's a good pick. I'm going to go with one. I'd be surprised if draft weekend is over Saturday night and the Chargers have no former Michigan guys. Corum makes a lot of sense to me. Especially in the middle rounds there, especially if he's still hanging around there in the fourth and fifth round. Chargers need running backs. I know they've been signing them this offseason, but it looks like they're going to kind of go with a running back by committee scenario there. And I can't imagine a better situation for Blake Corum coming into the NFL than, you know, getting, you know, a handful of carries to at least, you know, whet his appetite early in his career. I certainly don't want to give him a ton of carries early. You don't know how he's going to withstand the NFL, the NFL power and everything else. So Corum makes a ton of sense to me, especially if he's still hanging around late. Beyond that, it's a crapshoot, like you said. It's going to depend on what they need and how many guys are still hanging around late there. Certainly an offensive lineman would make sense. I mean, right, Jim talked about a lot this offseason about protecting Justin Herbert. I do think they're going to look at linemen in the draft. So potentially, you know, if Trevor Keegan's still hanging around in the third, fourth, fifth round, certainly could see that happening. Darius Henderson potentially as well. But I'll say one for now.
If you're picking a quarterback in the top 10, I mean, the hope is that he's a starter by like his second or third year. And I mean, unless you just happen to be a team that's already pretty complete elsewhere, which seems unlikely if you're picking that high, you want him to be the, you know, quote unquote franchise quarterback. You know, the hope is one of the best in the league by his, you know, fifth or sixth year. Do you think JJ McCarthy will be that for whichever team takes him?
I think if it's the Vikings, it's the dream scenario for JJ. I mean, they've got an experienced offense. You got probably the best receiver in the game and Justin Jefferson. You got some other young wide outs there. You got TJ Hockenson at tight end. So like, to me, it's like, man, go to a team that's in a division that, well, it's going to be much better this year. But that's kind of a dream scenario compared to like the Alabama quarterback last year. Bryce Young. I mean, he goes first overall and literally has zero weapons to throw to in his rookie season and has a dismal freshman or for rookie year. So that to me that would be a good scenario for him. If it's the Patriots, that'd be tough. You'd throw him in there, and what players on that offense trying to steer you? There's no one, no building blocks really around him to utilize. Same thing with the Giants. I mean, they don't have Saquon anymore. They don't have any top receivers. So if it's the Vikings, it's like, all right, yeah, I would trust JJ, give him the keys right away and let him make some mistakes early, knowing that you actually have some good players around him. If it's the other two, or if it's another team in the top five early, and there's not many pieces to build around, it's like, why throw him in there and see him potentially struggle his first year when look at what the Packers have done with Jordan Love and he's waited in his wings. I thought that was the wrong move at the time. And now he's looks like another franchise quarterback for Green Bay. So it all depends, but we'll see.
Aaron, you think McCarthy can be the guy at the NFL?
I think he can be. I think the Viking situation, I think, is ideal for him. He could come in and they already have a veteran on the roster in Sam Darnold. I think he could potentially take, you know, start the beginning. JJ can kind of wait in the wings and learn the way of the NFL. Remember, I mean, JJ's only 21 years old. He's relatively young, and he's coming into a man's league. And I think the Vikings have the pieces. They have receivers, clearly. I think they need to improve the offensive line a little bit. But I think they're in the perfect system that I think could utilize him. So I think eventually, yes. I don't know if it's going to be right away. I don't know if he starts week one, wherever he ends up, especially if it's Minnesota. But I do think if he does go to Minneapolis, I think that's just an ideal situation. He's the pressure is there, yes. But I don't think the pressure is necessarily on him right away to win. He can kind of learn the ropes, learn the playbook, and there's a veteran presence there to help him, bring him along in his rookie season. So he's got the tools, you know. And if it's not Minnesota, if it happens to be New England or happens to be Washington or somewhere else, Denver or wherever, I think he has the tools to do it. He's certainly got the talent to do it. I question at times some of his decision making, but I think a good coordinator, a good quarterback's coach can kind of rein that in. And I think he'll learn. He's smart enough to realize, I think, what's going to work and what's not at the NFL level. And I think that's one of the more underrated things about J.J. McCarthy is his IQ. He recognizes things very well. He reads the room very well. And I think he'll do that at the next level too.
Another thing to keep in mind too is if he does go to a rebuilding team like the Patriots or Giants or some, or the Broncos or someone like that, I mean, he has such a track record of winning. Like he's a proven winner, but it's the NFL. You can't really just throw a guy in there and just have him win games on his own. And JJ has had the fortunate, he's been fortunate to have teams around him that have helped aid his success too. So if you go to a team like that and he struggles, I don't know what that will do to his demeanor, for that will be a setback to him, but like, I can't see him winning right away at some of these, with some of these teams. So to me, I don't think that some team should rush and put him in there as the starter, like let him develop behind the scenes a little bit before throwing him in there. Minnesota might be a different story, but again, there's a chance he goes elsewhere.
Yeah. I it's hard for me to compare him to some of these other, you know, top prospects at the position, but I think he's going to be very good. I think, Aaron was smart to mention his age at 21. I saw one draft list that ranked the top like 25, you know, quarterback prospects, which includes, you know, several that aren't going to get drafted. He was the youngest, and there was only one that Drake May was the only one that was, also 21, but he's still a few months younger than McCarthy. And every other one was at least, I think, like 14 months older, with most being 23 or 24 years old. McCarthy was a quote unquote normal age going into college, like a regular student, and, you know, only did the 3 years there. So that combined with his mobility, his underrated arm strength, I think, will all serve him well. I think he'll do better with more volume. He just didn't have to do that at Michigan because of the run game and just the limited number of snaps overall for the Michigan offense. They could lean on the run game, but I think in an NFL system, he'll be very, very good. Can you guys each give me someone that you think maybe is undervalued, or even if that's not the right word, just someone you think will have a long, successful NFL career, you know, beyond McCarthy? Because everybody else is probably getting picked outside of the first round. If you want to even go deeper into maybe a, you know, day three guy that you think can have a career, fine. But, I'm fine with someone in the second or third round, because if you get a guy there who's a serious contributor, I feel like you've done well with your pick.
To me, an underrated guy, I don't know if he'll have a long career, but it's just he has an intriguing skill set and size is Braydon McGregor. I mean, he might not have had the most successful college career, but I mean, edge rushers are so important at the NFL level. And you look at him and he looks like a specimen. And it's like, man, if an NFL team can maybe unlock a little bit more potential out of him, I think he could be maybe an underrated pick. As far as like cornerstone NFL players, it's tough to see. I mean, Junior Colson's been a starter since like day one of his Michigan career, but like off ball linebackers aren't as important in today's NFL as they had been in the past too. So I think he could have a long career, but it's just that position doesn't play as much of an important role as before too. So it's tough. And Zinter, I thought, could be an anchor along the offensive line for a while, but he's coming off the injury. So it's tough to say. It's a lengthy list of draft eligible prospects, but no one is really glaring to me. It's like, yeah, this guy's for sure going to be a NFL stud.
I agree with pretty much everything he just said. I got two names I'm kind of like debating. I'll give them both, I guess. Roman Wilson, just because he's a receiver and like, those are always in need. And I think he can have a lengthy NFL career as long as he can stay healthy. I mean, that was one of his knocks at Michigan, but I think he has enough speed and like, he's got good hands, right? I think he can be a guy for a while. And then Mikey Sainristil, I think there was, I mean, he was durable. He played a ton at Michigan. He's still young and raw at the position at nickel slot. So I think he could be end up being a, you know, a long, you know, he can play, he can have a 10-year career in the NFL. It would not surprise me at all. Because I don't think he's kind of hit the peak of what he can be. So I'm intrigued by him. I think the most of any of these guys, you know, I think NFL scouts see it. I think they see the tape. I think they see a raw ability. And based on what he did at Michigan, I think the sky's the limit for him. So I'll go with those two.
Yeah. Give me Mikey Sainristel as well. The guy is, his size has proven to not really be a factor. His athletic ability makes up for some of it, as well as just his football IQ. So, I think you get a lot of people now saying how he's going to be that kind of guy. So probably not underrated anymore, but, that's my guy too. All right, let's get down to it. The record for draft picks in a single draft for one school is Georgia. In 2022, they had 15 players selected. That would have been after the season in which they beat Michigan en route to their first of two straight national championships. Yes. So, yeah, that team was just absolutely loaded and set a record. Can Michigan beat that? That is the question that I'm posing, because my over-under, I'm setting at 15.5 Wolverines taken. It's a number that, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking about, writing down a lot of names, because we've listed a bunch of them. J.J. McCarthy, Chris Jenkins, Roman Wilson, Junior Colson, Mikey Sainristel, Blake Corum, Zach Zinner, Trevor Keegan, and several other offensive linemen potentially. Braden McGregor. I don't know if we've said Jalen Harrell yet, but he's potentially a, you know, day three pick. AJ Barner, the tight end. Cornelius Johnson, the wide receiver. Michael Barrett. I mentioned some of those other linemen, and then, you know, there's others that, you know, are listed potentially. I mean, the list of names I wrote out was, you know, 20 deep, but. You know, how many actually get picked? You got your locks, and then you got your questionables, and you kind of put them all in a pot. And I come out with a number that's 15.5 with the goal of getting one of you to take over and one of you to get take under. But Zook, when you go first, you've already tipped your hand on where you're headed with this one.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go 14.5. So I'm going to go under on this one. I think that they might tie Georgia's record, but there's just too many guys that are kind of maybe on the fence as far as draftable. There's too many sixth, seventh round projections. And it's like, man, I don't know. Like, if it's tough. So I think the under is a safer pick. Right now I got seven locks with McCarthy, Corum, Roman, Wilson, Chris Jenkins, Sainristel, Junior Colson, and Zach Zinner. I got four probables and Braden McGregor, Cornelius Johnson, Jalen Harrell, and Trevor Keegan. So that's 11. And then, I mean, I'm leaning towards yes with Barrett and Barner, but not for sure. I think Henderson and Nugent are toss-ups and wouldn't be surprised if they're not selected. And then Barnhart and Jones lean towards no there. So I think it'll probably be 14 or 15. So I'm going to go under there.
You set the perfect number. Yeah, you set the perfect number. I'm going over by one. I have 16 Michigan guys getting drafted. All the names that Zook mentioned. I think the one we maybe differ on is Carson Barnhart. I have him getting drafted. I think five or six Michigan's O linemen get drafted. Obviously, McCarthy, Corum, Wilson, Colson, Sainristel, Jenkins, those are the locks in my mind. Barner is going to get drafted. Cornelius Johnson, I think, does late. Jalen Harrell and Braden McGregor, yes. And in fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the final Michigan player drafted Saturday night or Saturday afternoon, Michael Barrett. It'd be apropos, right? He played the most games at Michigan. He was the most winningest player. I don't know if he has a lengthy NFL career, but I think there's enough film on tape, obviously, of him that he can be a special teams guy. So I'm going to say 16. I think they go over by one. I think it's close. And look, I could see a scenario where Zook said where they're under by one too. But I'm going to give a lot of these guys the benefit of the doubt. Now, if Jim was still the head coach, and he wasn't the head coach of an NFL franchise, I would probably go over by a couple more. But I think him being in the NFL now, I don't know if you're going to, like, NFL teams are necessarily lean on him, and he's certainly not going to give them as much. So I'm going 16. I think they're over by half. I think they're over by one, but it's going to be tight down the stretch.
That's an interesting point about Harbaugh too, because I was thinking about that. It's like, I wonder if some of these teams will just draft the guy late just as a favor to Harbaugh. But like you said, now that he's in the NFL, I don't know if that's going to be if that's going to happen as much. So I can't disagree with Aaron there. It'll be interesting to see, but that's just the fact that they're threatening that Georgia record is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's hard to go through all these names, but basically, I don't know. It was hard for me to go beyond. You got your locks, fine. But then it was like this group of, it's like Drake Nugent, Carson Barnhart, Trente Jones on the line, and, Michael Barrett as the linebacker, Cornelius Johnson, AJ Barnhart. I just felt like, all right, there was six or seven names. I was like, four or five, I think, are going to go when all is said and done. That gets me like right to, is it 15? Is it 16? So that's how I came up with that number. Obviously, Zook's more like, is it 14? Is it 15? So we'll see. But either way, what's Michigan's record? It's probably been in the last couple of years that their record. I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but they've gotten to double digits here in recent years. Yes.
Yeah, it's 10 or 11, I think. Yeah. I think they've hit it multiple times recently, but I think 10, but I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that.
Yeah, and this is good. This is good for the program. This is what you want. You want to sell, that NFL success. That's where every player is trying to get to. So, most players are at least. And, having a, potential first top 10 quarterback and then, double-digit selections overall is a big deal. But yeah, like I said, we'll have on MLive.com coverage of all these picks, hopefully pretty much as they happen, as well as all the picks for the Lions. You guys have any, I know we all root for different teams. So as far as, you got any thoughts on any other prospects that aren't connected to Michigan that, you think maybe the Lions should take or, Zook, in your case, the Packers. I have no thoughts on what the Jets should do, to be honest. But
I mean, the Packers need some help on the offensive line and in their secondary. So I wouldn't be mad about a Sanders still picked in the late second or third round to Green Bay. I would love to see maybe Zinter go there. As a guy coming off an injury, but has potential. And Green Bay is really good at developing offensive linemen. There's going to be a need there after losing another former Wolverine, John Runyon. I think he went elsewhere this offseason. So, I wouldn't be upset if Green Bay drafted a couple Michigan guys at those positions.
The Lions are tough to say because they're drafting, 29th? So, Brad Holmes is his history of, I think having this list of guys he really likes, and he's probably going to take the best available. And look, he's shown in the past, right? He's willing to move up to take a guy that he really, really likes. It wouldn't shock me either if they traded out of that pick to add another draft pick. So Detroit's...
But do you do that in Detroit, though? Go out of the first round when you're hosting the draft and all these fans are there to see your draft?
Get caught up in that. Can't get caught up in that.
Yeah, I think he was asked about that a week or two ago, and he said, look, we're going to do the best that's best for our franchise, no matter what the fans think. And I think he said that he would hope the fans would forgive him if he were to draft or trade out of that pick. But look, the Lions are in a favorable position right now, right? I think it's in their best interest to take the best player available. They can add a draft pick or two through a trade. I mean, you wouldn't mind doing it. So they don't have a ton of needs right now, which is kind of weird because growing up, it seemed like every year, the draft is almost the biggest deal for the Lions because there were so many needs. So they're in a weird spot. I'm curious to see what downtown Detroit looks like, on telecast. We've seen it, the build happening. They're almost done there. Looks pretty good. But I think it's going to be a banner weekend for the city of Detroit. I think it's going to be a great thing. The weather looks to be iffy, warm, but windy and cold and rainy. So there's a lot going on. So, but I don't know. It should be a good weekend for Detroit. I'm just curious to see how it comes across.
Flying back from LA yesterday, there were a couple of big Lions fans decked out in gear, which seemed a little maybe early just to arrive for the draft. I don't know. Or maybe they just... I don't know, just getting in the spirit and they were coming home. I don't know. But yeah, very, very interesting and exciting times for the Lions and you know, the Michigan football program. We'll have coverage of all of it on MLive.com. So stay tuned and thanks for listening.